3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your happy host. It gives me great joy to present live music to the White Plains and Westchester area. We're spreading joy, spreading happiness, letting people know that live music still lives, although, as we will discuss later in this show, it's a little bit more of a struggle than it used to be, but then so is everything else. My special guest today is a man of many talents, multi-instrumentalist, singer, songwriter, show producer, Jason Gisser. Give it up for Jason.
How you doing?
Good. Now, we talked last show a little bit about songwriting. You appear in a duo, you appear acoustic, you also appear in the band The Soul Tree Villains.
Correct.
So you got it all covered there. Which is your favorite, the band, the duo, or the acoustic, solo acoustic?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite, because when you play acoustic solo, after a while it starts to get a little stale, and then you play with the band, and after a while it starts, so it kind of, they all complement each other.
So you're a man who needs variety.
Yeah.
To keep yourself happy.
Sure.
You know, I was branching out, I was going to do some acoustic gigs, but I really prefer the band situation. Anyway, we're talking about multi-instrumentalists, so I know you play guitar. What are your other instruments?
I play all the woodwinds except for the oboe.
Okay, so name what all the woodwinds would be, because I'm confused. Is flute a woodwind?
Flute is a woodwind. So, the saxophone, clarinet, flute.
English horn?
Is the English horn a woodwind?
Well, it's a double reed instrument.
Right. I don't play any double reeds.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, that I can't do.
So you play these on the gigs?
I haven't in a long time. I used to, maybe 10 years ago I played in a band, and I pick up the saxophone every now and then and add a little something to it. When I was in college, I was in a jazz band, and I played a lot of saxophone and piano.
Which sax were you, tenor, alto?
Alto. Well, I owned an alto, so that was, I think for the most part, any saxophone player is a saxophone player through and through. It's just what you own is what you would say that you are. If you have them all, then you can play them all.
Well, you know, my two favorite saxes are soprano sax from, you know, John Coltrane.
Right, sir.
And I'm not sure what it's called, the baritone sax.
Sure, yeah.
For, like, Tower of Power stuff, I just love that low, punchy
right, yeah.
Sound.
I like the tenor and the baritone are probably my favorites, man.
Got to be a big guy full of wind to play those instruments, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we were in high school, somebody, whoever it was that played the baritone, he was the biggest kid in our school, but in high school, you know, we weren't that big. So it was like, it would sit on the floor and he'd play. It's so funny, but it was good.
Cool. See, it's funny. I when I was in high school, I played the kind of bass brass instruments. I played slide trombone, valve trombone, baritone. I originally was a trumpet player, but when I got braces, I lost that embouchure for trumpet. And actually, you know, I feel bad for kids today, where, you know, anyone who has braces, because you take that mouthpiece and you jam it against your lips like this,
right,
and you're gonna bleed. You're basically bleeding while you play these songs. But, interesting. One of the interesting things for me was I had to read music, and every instrument I played that was different read a different clef. I don't even remember the names of the clefs. They, you know, there was bass clef.
Right, sure. Well, the bass clef and the G clef.
But there were other clefs as well that I had to read, and it was very confusing for me. But it was a challenge. Anyway, you don't play harp? You don't play harmonica?
I don't. I guess you could kind of call that a woodwind also, but it's... I see all the other guys that are out there playing acoustic. Everyone's got their little thing, and they do it. And I'm blown away that they do it, but I just... I guess I could if I tried, but I never really tried.
You know, I did it for a while, but it's a very expensive thing because you just blow, you know, when I was doing it in the 70s, you know, it was around $7 or $8 a harmonica. You had to have like 6 or 7 of them to cover the keys. Then you had to have twice that amount in case you blew one out.
Oh, yeah.
And you're always blowing them out. But, you know, it's funny, I was listening to a Stevie Wonder album yesterday, some compilation. I just love the way he plays. You know, he doesn't play the standard harmonica. He plays the big...
The chromonica?
Yeah, the chromatic harmonica. And he's just awesome. He's just awesome.
Everything he plays the drums on. I've always said my favorite drummer is Stevie Wonder.
Well, I think that what he brings to the picture is he doesn't play mechanically.
He just sits in the pocket and lets it go. You know, lets the band take everything over. You know, it's just...
Well, you know, it's funny. They said that on his big albums, when he came into his own, like the ones with Superstition,
right.
he had these guys from a band that were called the Tonto Expanding Headband. And they were responsible for a lot of his sound. For like the Higher Ground, the Inner Visions album. And you'll notice that his sound changed after that, became a little more clean. But anyway, what are you going to play for us today?
I'm going to do a song called Wings of an Angel.
I heard this on your website.
Right. Yeah.
I can't remember if I heard it on your MySpace website or your regular website.
It's on both of them.
Okay.
And incidentally, the last show, that song that I was with, I woke up in the middle of the night, the middle verse had something to do with that on this song. Listen to me cry.
power ballad.
Exactly.
That's nice, man. I hear a little Lenny Kravitz in your voice. Although, I mean, you didn't grow up listening to him.
No.
So it's probably just a parallel path.
It's funny. I get that a lot. Like, oh, you sound just like Lenny Kravitz. And it's funny. We're both mulatto.
Explain to people what that means. Some people are not familiar with that word.
We're both mixed race.
White, half white,
half black. White, half black. And his father was Jewish, and his mother's Catholic. My father's Jewish, my mother's Catholic. We both grew up listening to the same music, a lot of Marvin Gaye, a lot of Aretha Franklin, a lot of, you know, my mother was really into good old soul music. So we basically grew up listening to the same thing. And I don't know if you know, but he grew up in Middletown. You know, I grew up in Continental Village, which is, what, 40 minutes apart from each other?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you can see the parallel development.
Yeah, it's funny. The first time somebody said, oh, you sound just like Lenny Kravitz, I never heard of him. And so they put some on, and I was like, that guy sounds just like me.
Yeah, that's the way to be. That's awesome. You know, it's funny, race and music is such a strange thing. I love all kinds of music. I love reggae music. I love country music. And I just got Cablevision high-def TV, and I get a lot of channels I didn't used to get, one of them which is GAC, Great American Country. And remember Hootie and the Blowfish?
Sure.
So there's weird. There's a black man fronting a country rock band.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that is like a band like Hootie and the Blowfish. I don't think they set out to become a country band. I think that after they recorded their album, somebody said, oh, they're a country band, and put them on a country
rock.
Station. They're a country rock.
Country rock. But I guess my point was, is Darius Rucker, the lead vocalist, he put out an R&B album, went nowhere. You know, solo album. Now he put out a country album, number one album, number one single. And his second single is racing up the charts. So I just think that's a great thing. I think maybe we're finally getting away from all the pigeonholing of music and, you know, what you're allowed to play and what you're not allowed to play.
Oh, it's true. I played at the New York International Music Festival, and I played that song there, and Billy Joel's manager was there, and he says, listen, or his first manager, and he says, listen,
one of the guys who took all of his money?
Right, exactly. So he okay. says, listen, you know, we really like that song, and we'd like to buy it from you, or, you know, turn it into a country song, and we have this gospel singer that we'd like to sing it, and this is her right here. And so I started thinking about it. At first I was like, wow, you know, this is, that could do something, you know. And then I started thinking, I said, a country song, and I said, a gospel singer. And I looked at him, I said, what do you think this song is about? He goes, oh, it's a beautiful song about religion and how great God is and stuff. I said, that's not at all what the song's about. And so I explained to him what it was about, and he said, oh, well, that's okay. People won't know the difference. I said, you know what? I'm okay. I think I'm going to keep playing this one.
I'm surprised. I mean, as long as they didn't take writer's credit, you know, that's what a lot of these guys like to do. They take your song, they stick one extra line, and now they got 25% of the song.
Right.
That's the way Colonel Tom Parker of Elvis fame worked. Elvis recorded your song. He was 50% writer.
There it is.
And a lot of people, not a lot, but a few people wouldn't go along with that. But, yeah, to me, country, rock, it's all kind of the same stuff. So what else you got up your sleeve for us today?
I'm going to do one called Spanish Suicide.
Now, this is a love song? Or?
No, this is actually, it's funny, this is probably one of the only songs that I've ever written that didn't have anything personal to do. And it's funny because people are always like, oh man, that's horrible. I'm like, no, it didn't have anything to do with me, you know. And but when I wrote it, I started to get people that would come up to me and go, you know, it's so true, it's I got stuck in that situation. Basically what the song is about is it's the story of a guy who catches his girlfriend or his wife or whatever cheating on him. And instead of leaving her, because he figures, okay, he's heartbroken like this, but if he leaves her, it's 10 times worse. He caught her cheating and he loses his girlfriend. It's the worst. So he stays with her. And it eats at him a different way. And it's funny because people will say, you know, I did the same thing. I found, you know, the person I was with cheated on me, and I stayed with them, and it was the worst thing I could have done. It ate at me, and this and that. And so then, so I kind of kept it going. But this is another one that the Sultry Villains do.
Sure, when the end was coming there.
That was it.
Awesome, awesome. I love the percussive playing you did on that. The hammer-ons were nice.
Thanks.
I like your style of guitar playing because you mix open strings in with closed strings. So you get, you know, you said you like the Who. That's one of Pete Townsend's main tricks, to let the chords ring. He mixes the open with the closed.
Right. Oh yeah.
Very nice.
Plus, yeah. It fills a big gap when you're playing solo.
Yes. Yes, you can't. It's hard to play funky because there's nothing to fill up the space.
Right, yeah.
Awesome tune. So we're going to get back to the canned questions.
Okay.
So my question for you now is, if you could put together a band with anyone, living or dead, or put together multiple bands, like if they're having Jason Gisser tribute night at the Garden, then you're going to do one set with some people, and then other people would come out. And, you know, we'll do it on Halloween. We'll bring back the dead. So who would be in your band?
I think I'd use the horn section from the Average White Band. Probably have Stevie Wonder on the drums. Elton John on piano. Either Marcus Miller or I'm drawing a blank on his name, from Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, the bass player.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember his name. The guy who invents his instruments.
Right. On bass. Prince on guitar.
Ooh.
The backup singers, Tina Turner, Aretha Franklin, and I don't want to say Janis Joplin, because even though she's amazing, I don't think she'd be a good backup singer.
Like any of the ones you mentioned would be.
Yeah, this is true. Oh, yeah, I think they would. I mean, maybe Diana Ross.
These people must really respect you to put their massive egos aside.
You said my dream band.
I know. This, only in your dream could these people coexist on one stage.
Absolutely.
And not rip each other's eyeballs out.
Oh, absolutely.
But wow, what if, are you finished, or who's going to play guitar?
Well, Prince.
And then that's right. That's
maybe
right.
On the other side of the stage would be Jimi Hendrix. But yeah,
that would be awesome. Prince, Jimi Hendrix. Okay.
I heard a great story. I don't even know if it's true, but just the story itself.
Let's hear it.
I heard that, you know how they call it a headliner?
Yes.
Okay. But the headliner always goes on at the tail end of the show. I heard the reason that is because years ago, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and what's his name? Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Pete Townsend were all in the green room of one of the places they were going to play, and Jimi Hendrix was in there also. And they were deciding who was going to go on first. And everybody wanted to be the headliner, and they were all saying, oh, I'm going to go on first, I want to go on first. And as they're bickering about it, Jimi Hendrix climbs up on top of a stool and goes into a 5-minute just wailing on the guitar. And he goes, I want to go on last. And then right after that, everybody said, well, I don't want to go on first. Like, I don't want to have anything to do with going on first. And from that point on, it was the headliner would always go on last.
See, I thought you were going a different way with that. I would think that they'd want to go on first because they couldn't follow him.
Well, you know what it is? A lot of times the person who goes on last is what everybody remembers, you know? So everybody, you know, they'd want to go on, I would think, I'd want to go on last, you know? Plus, it's, these days, I mean, late at night, everyone's there, they have a few drinks in them, you know what I mean?
That's
a good
right.
time to go on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true. Well, that's quite a band you put together. Horns. Got to have horns in your band.
Yeah, the horn section from the Average White Band.
You know, I was reading today, I was someone gave me John Mayer's Live in L.A. CD, and it said the guitar player was Robbie McIntosh. Was he in Wife Band?
Was he in Average White Band or Tower of Power?
I think it was Average White Band. But I think
you're right, actually, yeah.
Now, he's a soulful guy, John Mayer. He's a soulful guy. I really enjoyed that album. Really enjoyed it. Anyway, man, I want to thank you for coming down. It was great hearing you play. You've got some real fine songs.
Thank you.
Thanks. You know, I mean, you got a great voice. Everything's working. It's a tough business.
It is.
Times are tough. But I know you're going to come out on top. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take it from the top.